This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
You know, there is one point that that we touch upon closer towards the end of the class that I feel is really, really important. And I myself haven't explored it enough. I really would love to, and I'm trying to give it more thought. And I would really love for the students to do that as well, especially because, you know, we come from many different backgrounds, right?
Yeah.
A lot of us are children of immigrants or grandchildren of immigrants. And I think that's really interesting. You know, one of the things that we talk about is we talk about the situation of Bani Israel towards the end of Musa's life.
Okay.
And then sort of, you know, we briefly touch upon some of the events that took place with Bani Israel after Musa. And, you know, they went through a period of essentially being lost in the Sinai.
Yeah.
You know, a period of 40 years, Allah says in Surah Al-Ma'idah.
Now, when they say 40 years, does that mean actual 40 years or...
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, 40 years. That's really interesting because Bani Israel is a big community. They're a big nation. Musa was not their only messenger.
Right.
They had other messengers... other prophets alongside Musa.
Who do we know that were...
Like, for example, we talk of, well, Harun, obviously, right?
Right, his brother. One. Okay.
His brother, but also Yusha ibn Nun.
So Yusha ibn Nun is also a prophet.
Yes, he's a prophet. He's a Nabi.
Okay, was he a prophet when Musa alayhi salam met him?
Well, he was a young... He was one of the youth of Bani Israel. And he kind of represents this generation of Bani Israel that did not grow up under the... oppression in Egypt.
Oh, so he's kind of like...
Because when they leave Egypt, I mean, post-Exodus, you're talking about many, many years.
I mean,
that period of being lost for 40 years. 40 years is not a short amount of time.
No, it's not.
So you have the emergence of a whole new generation.
Okay.
You know, Yusha is referred to in Surah Al-Kahf in the story of Musa with Khadr. When Allah says that Musa qala li fatahu.
Okay.
And fatah refers to a young man, someone younger in age, a young youth, you know.
Yeah.
So if that was his age at the time of Musa, that means, you know, he lived on after Musa and he was amongst that generation of Bani Israel that did not grow up under that oppression, and that has a big impact on the psyche.
Okay.
When you grow up under that much pressure and tyranny, you know, that really affects your behavior, affects your thinking, it affects your ability to think critically and to think outside the box. It affects your ability to have foresight.
Okay.
And to think about, you know, the future and planning and strategizing for the future. And oftentimes you repeat many of the same mistakes as the oppressor.
Okay. So is it fair to say that by the time that Musa alayhi salam passed away, the nation of Bani Israel is probably a whole new group of people than those who left Egypt?
Yeah, there's definitely a generation change. There might have been some people still remaining from that older generation.
Yeah.
But for sure, in terms of leadership,
okay,
and in terms of the kind of movers and shakers within that community, there definitely would be some changes there.
Okay.
And I think that's something to really reflect upon, because we often look towards our communities and our, you know, local communities and national and global and whatnot. And there's a lot of disappointment. Some people have disappointment. Some people have certain expectations, you know. And the idea is, you know, what impact has the experiences of the last several decades had on the way we think and the way we behave, and the way we look to the future, you know, or lack thereof, you know.
And a lot of it is influenced by the cultural baggage that, you know, we came from, versus the newer generation. The things that influence them, I would believe, is significantly different, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, look, they were not living under normal circumstances, right?
Yeah.
I mean, those circumstances are intense. There's a lot of strain.
Yeah.
Pressure, you know.
I mean, you're out in the wilderness.
Yeah. So that's going to force you to start thinking differently. You're going to have to in order to survive, you know?
Yeah.
And so I really would love for the students to take that opportunity to think really deeply about that from a psychological and sociological perspective of, you know, the experiences that that we as individuals, as families, and as communities and nations have gone through in the past few decades, whether we are immigrants or children of immigrants or grandchildren of immigrants,
yeah.
or perhaps we are children of people that lived in those kinds of conditions of oppression,
yeah.
Colonization, or even if we are most of us are essentially children of immigrants, you know, somewhere back in the line, you know.
Right.
But even different communities, different ethnic communities, went through different sorts of experiences. I think it's really important to pause and reflect on what kind of impact did those experiences have on the way my grandparents thought and behaved.
Okay.
And then my parents. And then have I inherited any of that subconsciously without realizing? Am I perpetuating certain behaviors that might not be so productive or wise, or just generally asking the question, why do we think the way we do? What are these experiences that have put us in this type of a paradigm?
I mean, this is where culture comes into play, right? It's like, it's a combination of really two things. What we actually deem important, whether it's said or not said, whether it's explicit or just simply just known, coupled with how we do things.
Yeah.
Right?
And I think this is really a blessing and something that we greatly benefit from many of our beloved brothers and sisters that are converts, is they actually put themselves in a situation where, you know, many of them, of course, each of them comes with a different story and different set of experiences.
Right.
But many of them, when you speak to them, they talk about going through this process of putting everything behind them and kind of starting from new.
Yeah.
And when they do that, we learn a lot from them, that they point out some of that cultural baggage that we have introduced into the religion.
Yeah.
And they're like, where is that? You know, where is that in the deen? Where is that in the religion?
Right.
And you know, I think it's important for us as a community to kind of put ourselves on check about that. A lot of the ways that we might be behaving, Islam is completely innocent from that.
True.